All right, at 9:30 on my calendar.
And it originally been, it got moved up to 9:00, everything. Welcome everyone to the special council meeting that has been set here for October 29th, 2021 at 9:00. Debbie, will you please call the roll?
Sure. Grandal?
Here.
Kapuska?
Here.
Narducci?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Viverka?
Here.
Welch Hanowitz?
Here.
Well, welcome everyone, and today, we have one piece of legislation, that is on first reading, and it's ordinance number 2021-144. And Debbie, will you please, follow, we need a.
Move it to be read by title only.
Second? I second it.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
An ordinance approving proposed terms and conditions with De Geronimo Development LLC for the sale of city-owned property and the development of the city's downtown area.
Motion to suspend?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now, we'll have a discussion regarding this. Would anyone like to start off the discussion?
Jim? Just, I said, go through an overview here, so, we have before us, a sale agreement, with the City of Independence and the De Geronimo Companies located here in town, and, we also have an economic development incentive agreement for a retention, grant as part of this, legislation. So, I think this process probably started in July, you know, in terms of, the ability to, work, through an economic development agreement, with this, company that has been in Independence for 62 years. That, solves several problems. It keeps, this business and, approximately 125, jobs, in the City of Independence. It provides a structure for, an economic, development incentive agreement similar to ones that, we put together earlier this year, for the job retention grant. It provides, tax increment financing, for the project. I'll turn that over to, at the end here, I'll turn that over to, the experts to, go through that process. It also allows, the, city to, sell property, that can be developed, into, both, retail, commercial, and housing, which is something that has been desirable for the city. In the interest of, facilitating this, this, city council in, 2015 passed, PUDs for the area that called for this type of, development in the area. And, the city has been searching for a partner, to do that. So in addition to a major corporate headquarters, which would be a big, great addition to this, to downtown and the city, we would have also a development partner, with strong knowledge and understanding of development, who has, done this type of thing, multiple times before in other communities, and who would be a full partner, with the City of Independence to develop the property, and develop our downtown into a true downtown area. The, city has, had a few, many inquiries, let's put it that way, and a few starts on this, but, they did not come to the finish line. It is, our strong belief that De Geronimo Companies, committed to this community will, not only continue to, live and maintain, corporate presence here in town, they also would develop the downtown area into something that would truly be a jewel and something that we could all be proud of. Vern, do you want to go through the tax increment financing aspect of it, or Jessica?
Nothing really to go over, just that the developer will receive the TIF proceeds instead of the city.
So in a major, development, in order to make this, process work, in order to, match competitive, agreements across, the region that the developer has been contemplating and has been suggested to. There are economic incentive grants to, as part of a TIF, to build out that area. So where ordinarily the City of Independence would retain that money and then put that money back into infrastructure to support the project, we are working with the DeGeronimo Development to have them do that on their own. So instead of the city putting the streets and, you know, in the area, the developer will be doing that. And so, you know, this is a process, and this is a process that has gone on for several months. It is a process that is really highly desirable for the City of Independence to have a local, strong, financially sound developer putting together a corporate headquarters in our community. This is now the second corporate headquarters being built this year, so it's a real credit to our community. And I think it should be noted the environment that we're living in. Developers are not putting a lot of money into Northeast Ohio these days. There's a lot of scarcity of dollars for these types of headquarters. The pandemic has exposed a sore with respect to workers working out of their homes. This city has fought very hard from an economic development perspective to bring people back to work and back to work in our business districts on Rockside and Pleasant Valley Road. And we all know what we're facing out there. So there is a lot of communities who are in trouble. Independence is not one of them. And we're not one of them because we're being proactive. We are working hard to both retain and attract business to our community. This will be a crown jewel in our center of town. For better part of 30 years, we've talked about redeveloping downtown Independence, probably going back to the mid-1980s. This does it. This is that spark that we really need. And it also keeps a company here who has an interest in developing here in Independence and who very well may be a partner on other types of projects. So not only do we think this is going to spur the type of growth that we would like to see in the center of town, it also does something that is fundamental. It makes our schools whole. By having an empty plot of land in the center of town, the Board of Education receives nothing. This agreement provides a revenue stream to the Board of Education unlike any we've seen in many, many years. And I think that is something that is a proud achievement of our community as we're considering this legislation to provide for the financial stability of our school district. As you know, property taxes went up all across the board. That was a very unusual event that happened by the county's evaluation this year. But you can't live off of those types of advances. And I think what this agreement does for our schools, bringing people into our community, the potential for perhaps up to 86 homes, new homes in our community. It's an exciting major development. It is something that residents have consistently discussed as something that is desirous for the community. And so we have before us an ordinance that helps effectuate those types of positive attributes for the city. And my own personal opinion, it's a tough time out there. And being able to retain a business of this caliber, being able to get them to commit to spending a lot of money here in town is a major feather in our cap. And the consequences of not acting, I think, are rather dire, because if we don't go in a direction like this, we have not had any types of reasonable offers for that downtown. All of them are if comes, and with developers who may or may not develop. We know one thing, DeGeronimo Companies is going to build a first-class world headquarters for themselves here. And don't forget, this is a world-class company. They're going to attract the types of people that they currently do business with, which are rather professional individuals. And they want to bring and fill their building up and fill other buildings up. And they want to attract new residents into our town with children who can go to our school district. And or senior citizens and others who want to stay in town and might desire to live in the center of town and a little bit type of a different setting. So overall, I think this agreement reflects what the community would like to see done. And I've been involved with some of the negotiations, and I know that this developer is serious about getting something done here in the city, and very much welcomes the opportunity to partner with the city. Obviously, there's a lot of of opportunity in the future to work directly with the developer in terms of the details of the agreement. That comes after this type of economic package has been approved. So, Mr. Vice Mayor, I hope that succinctly sums up.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, sir, go ahead. Chris, any comments that you'd like to make?
No.
Okay, Tommy.
So, I mean, Jim hit the nail on the head on many aspects, but a couple of different ones, a little history of independent customers. And they started here in Independence. They are a growing company. Thus, the reason for this fast-track project, they've acquired other companies to help them perform the independence excavating duty. So their workforce has grown by leaps and bounds, and they are busting out of the building they're in now, and they have buildings in Valley View, and they have buildings in other areas of Cuyahoga County, and they just want to get everyone together on one plot of land because it's more efficient for them. If this was another company coming in and trying to fast track this, I'd probably raise a couple of eyebrows, but I feel very confident and very comfortable with a company like Independence Excavating, who has been nothing but the best for the city of Independence. So, I think it's going to be a win-win situation for them and for us if they decide to stay here, and I hope they do. A couple other reasons why I approve this project is the schools are the biggest. They'll come way out ahead of the school system.
Biggest beneficiary, really.
Beneficiary for the school system. They a couple of projects this year, the new buildings for CBIZ, and now this, I think the schools are going to see a good dollar amount, and the schools are staying full with the TIF, correct? Yeah. They are staying full with the TIF. So, I don't know what else I can say. I think they're the only company so far that I know of that is paying for the land. We talked to other developers. They want the land for free. At least it's not a lot of money, but at least we're getting back what we put into it years ago. So we're not losing any money. I just think it's a win-win situation for the city of Independence and for the DiGeronimo companies.
Thank you, Tom. Dale?
Well, when we had our conversations earlier, I definitely agree that the DiGeronimo company is an excellent choice for doing a project like this. I have some concerns related to when we finally received the legislation. We got it about 20 hours ago. As I was looking over the legislation, ran into a few things in the legislation that kind of concerned me. Discussion of the height of the building was something we discussed before, and in the legislation it says 5 stories. That was not what was kin to some discussion that may have taken place in the past, and that does concern me. I spent a lot of time walking past the site, envisioning a corporate headquarters with a very operable retail area underneath it. Anticipated in my head some of the other portions of the development, how it could possibly positively influence the community. But the number 5 in there was something that was not discussed at that time. The other thing that concerns me is toward the end of the document, there's a paragraph in the document, and the document talks about open discussion and involvement of the residents, and that portion does trouble me. One of the biggest concerns is we don't want the community to have a misperception. We have spent a great deal of time in the past. There were a large number of meetings in the past. There were people were involved. And yes, people want a vibrant downtown area. As far as other portions, as far as the property in the back, there's been some serious discussion. Among the discussion, whether or not it's appropriate for green space. And based on the And unfortunately, we have a shortfall. I was hoping to get a little bit more background information because potentially the amount of green space is going to fall very short of what we might anticipate. I know we'd like to have it. I know it would be nice to have it, but I'm not quite sure how this is supposed to happen. I know there's conversation about phase one, phase two, phase three, and when we had discussions, those discussions were related to some kind of time constraints. Obviously, the DiGeronimo company is targeting to do some portions of that very rapidly. As far as some of the other portions, we don't have any kind of time constraints in here, which concerns me. So those, among the other concerns I have, just concerns me. I mean, one of the major things in my mind's eye is we don't want to be preconceived as simply rushing it through. As much as I like the company, as much as I like supporting the schools, as much as I like retaining a business in town, I don't want the perception of it to be that it was rushed, and whether it was rushed because of the season or otherwise, I don't have that answer. I just know that I'm definitely sitting in a more fenced position than I was before, simply because of the information we received or did not receive. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Dale. Kathleen?
Thank you. I appreciate the comments of my colleagues. Maybe I'll start off by making a few comments on our responses from my thought on what Councilperson Dvorka just said. The height of the building, I know we had extensive discussions about this during our time frame, and yes, there was a strong preference for a shorter, a lower building, 3-4-story building, but I don't think that I ever got the sense that we fully ruled out the fact that it might be as tall as 5 stories. Maybe that's my misconception, but I know we had talked about the height of the previous middle school that was there, the height of St. Michael's Church. And so, we had had that discussion. As far as green space, I value green space as much as any of my colleagues, I'm sure. But if we look a little bit further south, we have ample green space in the center of town. I don't think that I would want to see a project of this magnitude held back because I didn't feel that there was enough green space right there. It's a rare occasion other than home days or a band concert when I even see our fellow residents utilizing that green space. So I don't know that that should be the leading thought in this process. While I respect your comment, I don't think that would make my decision go one way or another. And then rushing through, I tend to disagree with that to an extent because I know that this project is moving quickly, but I think that we have had countless meetings where we have had the opportunity to get our questions vetted and had the opportunity to speak with the potential developers. So that is not an issue for me. I think this project is the fruition of all the real estate purchases we've made. Every time in the years I've been on council that we've made a purchase of property, we've made it very clear that we don't want to be landlords. We don't want to hold real estate. We're doing this to amass properties that we hoped could create some synergy for what we want to see developed in our downtown. I believe, as I've heard some of you state here and in prior meetings, this is an impetus. This is an impetus for us to finally come to see something in downtown that I know in the years I've been a resident, and certainly since back as long as 2000 when I was an employee and got involved in various projects we had, like the Betty Kemper over at Concordia and things. And yes, we have meetings after meetings after meetings, but we have to take, I think we're charged as leaders to take that step to go forward and to start to bring those opportunities. I think if we continue to wait, we'll be another 3-4 decades. And I don't believe that's what any of us wants, to just see nothing happen there. We also know that we have the potential to get some development on the west side related to this as well. So that's exciting to me. The schools are always near and dear to my heart as a parent and a former board member as well. And I'm excited about the opportunity for them to get some additional revenue in this whole process. I believe that I'm going to echo what my fellow councilperson said about the nature of the company who's coming forward to do this, not only being homegrown, having a track record, Pinecrest, Brecksville. I mean, they're into very large processes and very large projects, I should say, that I think mirror their what their abilities are. So, and then again, the environment that we are in, I think that if not one of us looks at the fact that we are in such a different economic environment. We know that we have lost employees at our Selig Road Cleveland Clinic facility. And most recently, just this week, we have the unfortunate news that we are losing a huge partner in Kitchler in our community. If we don't take an active step to move forward, we're not just going to go backward. We're just going to, it's going to be a potential crisis for us. So I think we need to, not making it without thought, we have all put good thought into this, but I don't think we can just sit still. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Ken?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, sorry, I'm just doing this on my phone for the first time and I'm just not sure how the technology's going to work. So, you know, I have a number of concerns with this legislation, a couple questions to ask. So the legislation does call for a 37.5% payroll tax give back for 10 years. What is the estimated dollar amount of that?
I think there was based off a minimum payroll of what, 22 or 22 and a half million.
So that would be.
It's 440,000 a year, so 37.5% of that would be about 165,000 a year.
$1,650,000 over 10 years based on current payroll. Okay, thank you for that. So I just want clarification on what the dollar amount of that part of the legislation is about, because the legislation itself does not specify a dollar amount.
And just one second, too. Is that for just the employees working in that building? If they have others working throughout this, it doesn't include the employees that are working in a different building. Only the new building. Okay.
$4.4 million.
Wanted to clarify that, Ken, so they... Because someone I'd gotten called last night, they thought it was all their employees.
$4.4 million.
If they leave. Okay. I'm sorry, Ken. I just want to clarify.
No, that's right. I'm just trying to get clarity on that. We don't have a site plan at this moment, right? We don't know how 86 lots, sublots on 99 acres lays out, or where the building's going to be situated, if it's on the edge of the sidewalk on Brecksville Road or set back from the street. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's no site plan in existence. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is how I think here within the first, two, 3 months?
Yes, I think after they engage the architects, Melissa will be in the middle of the process, yes. Typical of how we did it with Welty and everyone else. It's a new way of doing business, yes.
And it's also a new way of doing business as far as this TIF, right? The city has never before in its history turned the TIF money over to the developer. Every previous TIF, the TIF money has stayed with the city to fund public infrastructure in the TIF district. This is the first time ever that the city is turning all of that future tax revenue over to the developer. Is that correct?
It's the same outcome, though. It's got to be used for public infrastructure.
But we've never done that before on any other residential developments where the TIF money has gone back to the developer.
No one ever asked us in the past.
Okay, and what is the latest word from the developer? Are they anxious to for the city to approve this? Are they inclined to go anyway? What is the latest word from the developer?
I have not communicated with the developer pending this legislation.
So is the developer aware that we're voting on this today or intending to vote on this today?
I believe they know that there's action going to be taken. I didn't talk to anybody about this morning or yesterday or moved the target a couple times, if you recall. So we won't
we have a meeting on
Till this is, we won't really know, Ken, until this decision's made. There's no sense shooting at ghosts or trying to negotiate or trying to come up with something if we don't have affirmative action by the ultimate decision makers. And the only group that I've stressed, the only group that has the ultimate authority is City Council. The mayor, finance director, economic development. We facilitate, we try to move in the right direction, but we have to listen and echo council sentiments. And at this point, we're in arrears in getting this accomplished. So it's a matter of taking the legislation if it's approved and meeting and seeing if that's enough to convince them to stay in any bonds.
Okay, so the developer is still exploring their options. They haven't said if Independence does, the city of Independence does this for us, we're coming.
No, I think we didn't cross that bridge because we didn't have anything to affirmative to share with them. Up to this point, it's been conversation.
Okay, so I'd also comment, as some others have here, that this process has been rushed. But not to say that's not warranted given the importance of Independence excavating to the community. I always say slow and right is better than fast and wrong, but sometimes you do have to move things along at a faster timetable than you would otherwise like. And this process has certainly been rushed. I have a number of concerns about it, plus and minus. But the among them, probably the biggest one is the lack of a site plan. I really don't know exactly what I'm voting for here, how this would look, what would the impact be on our community absent a site plan. I would have hoped that with the $10 million of public financing that the city's providing to this, that we would have been extract a more detailed proposal from the developer. Get the rush time frame and whatnot, but again, it just leaves me with very mixed feelings about this legislation because I don't have a clear picture of what it is we're getting into. That's it.
And thank you. I think Chris communicated you with him.
Yeah, I'm ready to say my name. I mean, we all know it's outside of our realm of how we would typically negotiate or do business. And with the TIFs, it's all new. And we're living in a new era, like Jim said. COVID's changed a lot of things. So we have to do things different if we want to keep businesses here or bring businesses in. So it's always, the chain's always moving, so we always got to do new things. And I get it, and it is a lot of money, but sometimes you got to spend a lot of money to get a decent product in town. My biggest wants is, you know, I don't want to see losing businesses. I don't want to see losing all the employees to another community. My biggest agreement, or if it's not that word, it's the money that the schools are going to get with, you know, you combine CBIS building, you combine this building, the schools are going to have a huge amount of money coming to them, which will help them with their future plans, I would hope. They're a homegrown community. We've all grown up with them. Some of us have gone to school with them. I don't think they're going to do us wrong on what they build. We've all seen what they've built in the past. So I am, I support it. I want to see something happen there. The height of the building isn't concerning me right now. I have ideas of what I like to see in housing. Hopefully at some point we'll see that. Like I had mentioned, I like that whole brownstone look back there. I think that would be beautiful in that area. It's more of like a downtown look. But without repeating what everybody else has already said, that's where I'm sitting with.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris. And Jim, you said,
yeah, I just had a couple of additional comments on this. I think it's salient. So first of all, over the course of the past year since the pandemic, we have had two businesses approach us that have had serious offers from other communities. And I think the response that this administration and this council has made is a statement on economic development. This is a small world of economic development in Northeast Ohio. People are not spending big money here. So I think this legislation, the CBIZ legislation, it sets the tone that if you're a business and you want to do business in Northeast Ohio, independence is the place to be. We're going to fight for our businesses. We're going to fight for new jobs. I contrast that to other communities around us. They don't have the same attitude that we have. We have that elan that the French army had, right? You know, it's like you want to win. You want to be able to score victories. And this is a major victory. It's a major symbolic victory and a major economic victory for us. And again, what I think we just talked about with the school district and being the main beneficiary of that, we're securing the future of our schools for many years to come. Secondly, I think we can all read the papers, and particularly Independence Today, right? I think when you look at what's going on in Brecksville and the Planning Commission and some of the clamoring that's going on in Brecksville, contrast that with the attitude of the people of the City of Independence. We are a welcoming community. We are going to work with development to try to make things work on our terms, but also understanding their economics. And this past week on the Center School project, take a look. This developer put in a proposal, you'll see the result. It was not something that I would consider to be particularly business friendly. So I think when you contrast how Independence is handling these situations versus communities around us, being proactive, are we quote unquote giving anything up? We're not giving anything up because there's nothing happening there. And there's been nothing happening on the site, for 130 years other than an education building and now an empty lot. So, you know, you're not giving up anything you don't have. And I think when you look at the sacrifices that we're making, they are in the interest of the community. I also look at something very significant. We do have a process that the developer will be coming before us. There will be public hearings and meetings on these things. And I think all the other proposals before us, that's how this worked. Some of them put the cart before the horse, but we've got the horse driving the chain here. So there will certainly be much public input on this, and I wouldn't support a development agreement that didn't allow that. And there's some developers that are out there that don't like to have the public input. We do, and we thrive on that public input, and it's very beneficial to us. But I just think there's a contrast between how Independence is doing business and what we're doing to for our residents and for the employers who have chosen to be here and who'd like to be here. We are open for business, and we want you.
Thank you, Jim. And I'll keep my comments brief because almost everybody's covered all aspects of this, but we've been working very hard, on this project. I think everybody who ever ran for office for council, probably since the 80s, have always promised that one of their top priorities is to develop the downtown area. Yeah, and I guess a few of us old pirate, probably Dale and Greg, and I remember at our youth, the downtown was vibrant. There was a theater down there. There was a grocery store, W.T. Grant. There was a lot of activity. And I remember as a young, I enjoyed going downtown. I looked forward to the football games on Saturdays over at the back of the middle school on that property. I looked forward to going over to Isley's, there was an ice cream place and that other shop. And it's Franklin's. Yes, Franklin's. So, and then there's movies. I mean, some of our earliest movies, I remember going to the Willow Theater with my parents. So there was things that we did downtown. You have your memories. Since the Willow Theater went down, I think, in the late 70s, I think 77, maybe 76, is when that the fire and everything else. Since that, we've had very little downtown. And people, matter of fact, we've had so many meetings and opportunities for people to weigh in on over the years. I think different things would flourish, like the most recent was Fairmont, a couple other things we had on the ballot that have on the middle school property, a senior housing facility, a number of things, but nothing ever took hold. And we've spent a fortune of money and having experts, consultants tell us what we can and can't do down there. We've spent a fortune buying the different land up, and nothing has happened. So I think the public, at least the ones that have been here for a number of years, are good old, they're a little jaundiced. It's like, I mean, they're used to a lot of talk and nothing ever happening. This opportunity came about a few months ago, and it was something that's local, something that had gone through all the history that the rest of us have gone through, somebody that has been loyal to the city and has helped the city out on numerous occasions, and they've been bedrock. They were born in this community, and they continue to thrive. As a matter of fact, now the next generation is taking it to all new level. But do you look, these are turbulent times. Companies come and go, and loyalty is very rare, and trust is very rare. But this is a company that we can trust. That's a lot of this is built on trust, that they're the project they're going to provide us. They're not going to cut corners. They're not going to do something that is embarrassing to the city or embarrassing to themselves. They're going to, if they accept this, they're going to go full bore to make this be something that not only their family and their country can be proud of, but the whole community can be proud of. And it'll be something like the battle that we had to get the Civic Center building. It went numerous times. The library was on the ballot, and you had the Civic Center. And finally, the marriage of both those projects produced by a slim margin what we have today. And this here, granted, it seems rushed, but that's how things are happening. You have to make a decision within a few weeks. You don't have the luxury of months of studies and everything else. And we talk about the money that's being given, but that's the money that's not right now. That property's not producing any money at all. And if they leave to go to Brexville and everything, there's going to be a net deficit that we're going to have a hard time replacing. And the other thing too is that it's we're losing a company that's been here their entire existence, and all of a sudden now they're going to Brexville. And the competition is fierce, and you hate to look at it as competition because it's a regional thing. But still, we're responsible for this community here. We're responsible for the future. It's easy just to look short term and have blinders, just think of the next year or 2 years or your next election or everything. Of course, at this point, I look at this as I think Kathleen's mentioned too, 30, 40, 50 year project where you're building upon the future. This is just the first step. Hopefully of many steps that will see a downtown, maybe 20 years from now, 10 years, it'll be unrecognizable. Right now, my dad came back to life, he died in 86, and he'd see downtown now, he said, nothing's changed. It's the same town. He said, and everything's changed around. I mean, even Cleveland landscape has changed since that time. So that's it. My dad always said, the only senior housing in the town I'll ever have is down at Maple Shade. And that's exactly that 40 years ago. And it's true today. We have to think ahead of you, think out of the box, and we're being ready to really take a chance on our community, on this company. And so, you just hope it's built on trust. And I think I trust very much that this company is not going to let us down. You see everything they've done, the quality on our street. I know we in the past actually did that project for the city before I was on council and everything. And it's lasted. Wood, Sunset, and that has lasted very well. They do quality work, and they stand by their work. And I have trust that, not really for myself, because who knows how long we have. As Mike Trippas on, how long your life is going to be. But I trust this for my children that live here now, and my grandchildren that will live here, and all of your future children. Dale's daughter lives here, family lives here. So we're doing this for the next generation, the generation after that. And I think that talking about money that we don't have and everything, it's just, you can get bogged down in that and lose the big picture. And I'm trying to look at the big picture. I hope and pray they accept this, but if they don't, at least I have a clean conscience that we did everything we could to keep them here. And, that's their decision, and not one that we'll have to own. So I guess that's my rattle. If Greg, you would like to speak on this or anything?
No, just to reiterate what a number of you have said, I think Constantine has gave us an overview that's consistent with the challenges that we've experienced to try to get to this point in the past. And we've, I applaud council for several reasons. This has been a tough economic time the last 2 years, COVID, and now the new challenges. I think Dr. Trey just clearly articulated the economic environment, the uncertainty of the economic environment that we're facing. We had our mayor's meeting yesterday, and another part of the dialogue is about trying to figure out what the future is going to be like and how we're going to navigate some of these challenges from an economic development standpoint and for this entire region. And so I also had a meeting, was invited to a dinner with this week with the new owners of future owners of Heidelberg. Redwood Development is buying Heidelberg. Huge deal. And they're buying, and this the sensitive nature of all this is they're buying the real estate also. To give you a contrast, Kichler, which was bought by a larger company. And I just heard that story. It was part of that dialogue yesterday because of the 500,000 square feet that they're vacating and how ownership of the property and ownership of the business, when they're not the same, creates a dynamic that it's difficult to navigate through. And some of the developers I was talking to yesterday shared with me the challenges that they're facing because of that dynamic. In this case, Heidelberg, they own the building, their stability there for the city of Independence. And I think the same thing, it correlates to downtown. They're going to own the building. They're going to have an embedded investment in the building. And so that's a plus for the city of Independence. But there are, and I give council credit in many respects this past 2 years because you've been nimble enough to allow economic development to approach some of these challenges with new strategies. When we comes to the city council, which, by the way, you are the ultimate decision maker, and that's never more evident to me than this situation we have today, that we can facilitate all we want, come up with ideas and concepts, and we bring them to you. And in this case, this is one where we had to go to the well right now and see if we can salvage this opportunity, because it's not just the potential for the schools and the future tax dollars for the city. It's the potential loss of one of our major stakeholders. And that's not even to mention, I think Kathleen articulated this recently about the philanthropic element that they bring to this community. And everyone can tell a story about what they've done over the past 65 years to further embed themselves. And they don't want credit for it. So my goal is, and the sensitive nature of this, and I'm sure that's why the decision makers today are going to make this tough decision, but it's not a decision in a vacuum. I truly believe that this is going to be a step-by-step process. We're going to uncover, discover, and we're going to be doing something. Every time we drive by downtown, it's like you said, you're fired. It hasn't changed. And so we have a unique opportunity right now, using the standards of today, the economic pressure of today, to create something dynamic, and that'll be a legacy for all of us. And it's what the people have told us they want. So there's a huge element of trust, but without getting out of the gate, there's nothing to talk about. I don't want to be sitting here with nothing to talk about. I'd rather be talking about what the building will look like, talking about how the footprint's going to be, talking about future tax dollars, talking about all these things, rather than not talking at all. Because every opportunity lost is an opportunity lost, not just a bit forgotten. So that's why I appreciate the fact that tonight, when you're speaking for the economic development team, we appreciate your attention to this matter, the time-sensitive attention. For example, one of the mayors told me yesterday that it used to be an 8-week, 12-week lead time for steel. There's a 6-month lead time. And so when they came to us, they said, you need to be in early first quarter 23, there's a lot of dynamics. There's a gap in the construction schedule for the Welty building because steel. And who'd have thought this country, as powerful as we were, would let ourselves deteriorate for silly reasons, as far as I can, not protect ourselves in that respect. So anyway, that's going off in the weeds. Bottom line is, we're here today because this group, this council, these leaders, the leaders of today, have to make a decision that will impact the future of this community. And we've done everything we can do from an administration standpoint to give as much information. We only have so much, but it's your decision, your judgment, that's going to make the future of this downtown area, at least today. And we'll go future, whatever you decide today, we'll continue to plod forward.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I guess without further ado, we'll...
Can I make a comment?
Oh, sure.
What you said?
Sure. Neil, and then Kathy, you'll be next.
Okay. I just want to point out, Dave, you're the only one that did mention that you talked about senior house. And based on the conversation we had, it seems like the housing potentially would be more for the people that would be working there and would not necessarily be senior housing. So I don't want people to have that misconception. Yeah. That our target for that area would be senior housing, because I don't believe that's a reality. Would you agree?
I agree. But I think it's the catalyst for future. There's other potential possibilities that would be for people downsizing and that too. So there's another project that's will.
That's the trade-off of right. But that I believe that we're still losing good residents every year that we don't have an alternative for them to go into. And this is not going to be, I agree, this is not the stamp for everybody, but it's the stamp for some people to stay here, because we'll offer some option for them. And I think we're working on, and we all know we're working on something that's for a more robust discussion and for future layers of retention of our residents, offering a different alternative housing strategy. But there will be residents that live here today that will, they've told me that they can't wait to get something downtown so they can move out of their existing house into a new facility right downtown. So it will pick up a little bit here, but I'm just starting to lose them. Those people that want to be here, and they're spending money. They would have spent money and built a house here. It's just frustrating. So hopefully this solves that one dimension of the senior housing or alternative housing component that we're working on.
Right. Well, one of the biggest issues, obviously, in conversations with various people, yeah, we'd like to stay here, but the question then becomes, what's the price point?
Right.
And the price point for those homes is going to be very difficult for the majority of residents in town. I think that's a fair statement. Would you?
You're right.
So in other words, that this potentially could be helpful for a small portion of the people that have very large, expensive houses. So we don't want people to get the misconception that what the target is for this area is affordable, whatever the word for affordable, housing is, because that's not really the target. The target of this is more people that are going to upscale. So I want to make sure people are aware of that.
Yeah, I don't want to mislead people believe that this is the senior housing alternative. It's a for a certain dimension, absolutely. But it's not just senior housing. It's the housing for to keep retention of our residents. And we've had some some discussions about solving that problem, or working on that resolution to that senior housing, or keeping it. To me, it's retention. It's resident retention. I don't care what your age is. We see a lot of younger people coming in, the same people that couldn't wait to get out of the bubble and not coming back to the bubble to raise a family. And it's exciting to see that. And the parents of those people want to stay in the city, and it's our responsibility to provide, or at least come up with solutions to that. So to me, it's resident retention of all ages, and not just at Maple Shade or
the Ultimate retention.
Like, this would spark the next phase, of the next generation or economic position of people,
right,
to stay here.
This is, yeah.
Money attracts money, right?
Right.
Kathleen, I think you wanted to...
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to make one more comment on this process in general. We obviously could not have gotten here without the economic development aspect and all the work that Jess and has done on this, the financial information that Vern has provided through his department, and of course the administrative lead through the mayor. But I want to make it very clear too that early on in this process, the mayor clarified to us that he wanted to take more of a backseat position because of personal connections, and afforded the opportunity to our vice mayor, Dave Grindel, to really take the lead on this process. Everybody was involved, don't dismiss that, but I'd like to applaud Dave for the work and the hours that he put into this to bring us to this point, and always the good communication that he afforded us in this process. So thank you.
Thank you,
definitely. Yep. Thank you. So Dave told the DiGiorno company, don't do this during tax season, because
I
don't have time to help you.
This was in February or March.
It'd be a little different.
All these constraints. You know?
That's right. That's right. Any other comments before we take a motion? Entertain a motion then on this ordinance?
I move that we pass ordinance 221-144.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Debbie, will you call the roll, please?
Sure. Grindel?
Yeah, yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Abstain.
Trakas?
Aye.
Verwerka?
Abstain.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Are we at 5 votes in favor and 2 abstentions?
Can I say why you abstain? It's in our bylaws, you have to say why you abstain.
Dale, you want me to go first?
Bear with me for a moment here. So, I've decided to abstain from voting on this issue for several reasons. First and foremost, I have not received enough information about the specifics of the project to vote either in favor of it or against it. There is an astonishing lack of specificity on the overall site plan, as well as the development timeline. I do not know what is going to be built, where it will be built, or when it will be built. I'm also uncertain about giving $10 million of public money to a for-profit developer with close family and business ties to multiple city elected officials on a no-bid contract basis. If the city is willing to throw that kind of money at this particular project, perhaps it would have been better to cast a wider net to see what other developers could bring to the table. Maybe this is the best opportunity the city will ever have for developing the middle school. But it is also true that we have not cast a broad net in pursuit of other offers under the same terms. I want to emphasize that I'm not necessarily opposed to spending $10 million of public money on this project if it delivers a great result for the community. The city can easily afford such an investment, but due to the large number of unknowns on this proposal, I cannot determine at this moment in time whether or not it would be a wise investment. Without knowing the basic development plan, I am unable to appropriately weigh the costs and the benefits. I'm disappointed that the city's negotiating team was unable to obtain an architectural rendering of the proposed project from the developer. If the city's going to invest $10 million of public money for this project, shouldn't we at least be able to see some rudimentary site plans and architectural drawings of what the developer intends to build? As they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. A picture, however preliminary or conceptual it may have been, would have made it a lot easier for me to vote in support of this resolution. Without an architectural rendering, I find it very difficult to visualize the impact on the neighboring properties. I find it difficult to reach any conclusions regarding traffic flow and stormwater management. I find it difficult to visualize the density of 86 homes squeezed into just 9 acres of land. I find it difficult to assess the environmental impact, loss of green space, and loss of public parkland that will result from this development. The developers are great people, true pillars of the community. They have integrity beyond measure and are trustworthy in every way. Nonetheless,
I feel it is imprudent for the city to put so much blind faith and trust in the developer, given the lack of specifics in their proposal. I also feel it's been an incredibly short timeline in arriving at this vote. A project of this magnitude warrants far more input from the residents than this. Why the rush to this moment? There has been no public input on this project, which deviates substantially from previous development plans the city has ever put forth for the middle school property. What is the rush? Slow and right is always better than fast and wrong in my book. I firmly believe that no development on the middle school site is preferable to a bad development. I like many aspects of the development that have been proposed by the DiGeronimo companies, but there is not enough information available at this moment in time for me to make a good judgment as to whether or not this is a good project for our community or not. For these reasons, I am unable to vote either for or against this project.
Thank you, Ken. Dale?
I knew I shouldn't have let Ken speak first. Basically, what Ken has said is right on target. I mean, basically, as I looked at this agreement and found that there were definitely areas that I was very concerned about, I was concerned about the fact that we have had plans in the past. There are certain things that definitely should be in the plan for operating. As I said, I think DiGeronimo's are a great choice. I think that they won't do us wrong. But on the other hand, it sure would be much better to have had a little more solid information in front of us to deal with. So for that reason, that's why I abstained. I follow along with what much of what you said, Ken, realizing you're in Houston, but
Dallas?
Not Dallas. Exactly the place. But what it boils down to in my mind's eye is there are an unfortunate number of questions that it would be nice if we had additional answers to. And I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to me, it makes the most sense to have abstained.
Thank you, Dale.
Just for clarification, I think there was a $10 million figure thrown around that were given to the developer. I don't know if that's accurate portrayal, because in the past, we put in $10, $12 million into the road and the sewer, put $13 million into the road and sewer for Topgolf. And we pay for it and we'll collect it. Difference is now they're going to put it in. We're not, they're going to put in the development and get paid for it. So the situation doesn't, still got to be used for public infrastructure, all the dollars. And so the difference isn't sort of us putting it in and paying for it. They're putting it in and going to get paid for it. So, and we monitor it. So, and I'm not sure what that number is. If it's accurate or if it's just discussion points based on some of the dialogue we've had, but just for clarification.
It's unlike Topgolf where we wrote a check for $1 million until we negotiated. It's not that type of deal. It's $10 million that we don't have, that we would never have. And like the mayor pointed out, it's money that they're going to use for their, you know, underground sewer, their streets, their sidewalks, where we would pay for that normally and reimburse it over 30 years of TIF money, where they're going to get reimbursed over 30 years, but they're upfronting that money where we would have to upfront that money and get paid back over 30 years. They are upfronting the money and they will get paid back over 30 years. Am I right?
Yes, it is.
Well, a question then, because you mentioned about the one project, the sewer and road project, but weren't those properties assessed?
The $13 million, there was $3 million, I believe, that was assessed.
So there was a portion that's assessed.
Yes.
Now, is that safe to assume that there would be some assessment of the homes in the back then?
No, I don't think that's they don't.
Those are commercial.
That doesn't apply
here.
Council hasn't been asked to, and we haven't done any assessment on any of these projects. I don't know if council was ever even asked to assess the Rockside Woods North project. We did assess the first phase of Rockside Woods North years ago,
correct,
which stimulated the the construction of it. And I'm still perplexed as to why we didn't assess this one. I'm a top golf site. So we didn't, and a lot of directors that told me we can't go back and do it, so we lost that opportunity to do that. So but we are TIF, we constructed it and we'll be reimbursed through the TIF. And so, you know, it's gonna be the lake, someone said if without it, we get no tax dollars. So in this case, we would lose tax dollars if they don't, we don't come to some understanding. So, but I think, Council, I appreciate, thank you, Jim, for your summary. I think you encapsulated so much that it made it easy for everyone else to.
That's why I asked the veteran who has gone through a lot of it statewide as well as local, so to set the table for us and everything. So thank you, Jim. You're welcome. For that.
So we'll find out. This gives us a chance. At least we know we can. We can throw the Hail Mary, and if we get it, it'll be because of your leadership and decisiveness. So I appreciate that.
On a related topic on downtown, I know Dave Schneiderberg had an idea of having a nice like sign, independent sign in the center of town. Is that still an option for us?
Like the one my grandfather built?
Yes.
In the 20s?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, his was an arch, I think.
He was an arch. Yeah.
Well, you know what, if it fits in. Well, one of those pictures they showed us had this arch. And if you those pictures,
I saw that, yeah.
That looked
pretty
cool. I didn't see any pennants on it, but I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
But you know what? These are all fun. If we go forward, that's the exciting part about doing something like this. Once you navigate through some of these logistical issues, that's where I think this could be really exciting. At least it's something I hope we do this, because at least it's something we can talk about then. And now that we just drive by and do nothing and wait for someone to come in, because I'm afraid for those of you who have been doing this live as me, that was one of the things we started years ago and decades ago. And every time we get to we wouldn't even get to the starting gate because we couldn't find it. That's why I think this council, you know, we have good, robust discussions, but from an economic development standpoint, I want to speak for Jess, but I know one thing, we walk in this room with you, there's a good chance that we're going to hold on to a customer, retain a customer, because we're just telling you the facts, and in this challenging economic times, I don't know what the next, what's around the corner. I know that Kitchler, for example, they were working from home, and so they're still working from home.
Yeah.
And so except for the people in the warehouse, the 86 people that were in the warehouse, or 83 people there.
They're working there. Hey, I talked to a couple of the employees and his clients, and they said, yeah, that the move is sold, it doesn't bother them. We're still working out of our house, and we'll continue to do so in the future. So.
Yeah, so it's a whole, I think, it's a move. He was crystallizing in the front. I wish any of us had a crystal ball. It's just a very challenging time. It's just bouncing around here every day with new challenges.
Well, look at our philosophy, Mayor. So our philosophy when I-77 and 480 were built is we're the ideal location to be, right? There was a vision when they built the Coliseum that Akron and Cleveland were going to come together, everything would be beautiful, we're going to have 10 million people live in the region. You know, those things didn't happen. So then we had the juxtaposition to... Now we had to fight for people. In the 1990s, we started using economic development. That wasn't enough. We never wanted, when people approached us about a tax abatement, no dice. We never even talked to them about that. Look where we've come. I mean, you've got to be proactive. Communities that stagnate die. I don't want this to be Boardman. I mean, we've got a lot of opportunity here. And when people see the visibility that this community is a fighter and a scrapper, I think they like that. But you know, some of these things aren't going to be able to be controlled. I mean, we don't own companies, so we can't control what they do. They're out for their interests, and there's going to be a lot of these coming down the pike, I suspect.
Well, it is a moving target, because one of the narratives at my dinner the other night with the new owners of the Heidelberg takeover was one of them from the Cleveland office articulated how, you know, they attract people from East Side. People come yesterday, and one of the mayors said, you know, the thing about independents is, if you live in Strugsville, you'll come to work at independents, but you really don't want to go have to work Solon. If you live in Solon, you'll come to work at independents, but you really don't want to go to work as far as stolen. So we still, and then they mentioned about the airport being 12 minutes away. So from a larger corporate standpoint, knowing that they can get in and out, they can, time is money, that they can, you know, we're doing the best we can to create a strategy that is more your help. With your help, we've been able to hold on to some of these things. So we're working already, trying to look at backfilling the Kichler building. There's a couple things that we'll be talking about in the near future. When the substance comes together, obviously you're the decision makers, and so we will we'll be in to talk to you right away. So, but it's moving, and I do appreciate the fact you've been nimble. We can call meetings. We call a lot of meetings on this, and I appreciate the attention that council paid us as leaders of the community. I'm not sure I could have done that 20 years ago as quickly as we were able to keep. But that's how being nimble is going to be a success, part of our success formula, is we're able to quickly make decisions and keep things moving. So with that.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Vice Mayor.
We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Okay. I'm all in favor.
Aye.
Well, Ken, hope you get back. Ken's safe and sound.
He's safe, man.
Okay.
Yeah,